So we're like, they're gonna just reboot, because that's what if you like Flashpoint reboots everything.
Yeah.
And we're like, like, yes, they're just gonna reboot it, and we're gonna get a gun, and then nothing. Nothing changed.
This is Brittany, a.k.a. Wilma, coming to you live from the USS Melbourne, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
There's this guy. He's the kind of cop. At least he used to be. He doesn't care about proof. He doesn't care about the law. He only cares about what's right. He knows what I did. You can't protect me. No one can.
You think I'm a hero? I am not a hero. And if you're smart, that scares you. Because I have nothing to lose. Remember, you wanted this. Really?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise film back a few years ago. And Jonathan has the details, so we'll hand it over to him.
Okay. The director of this film was Christopher McQuarrie. Sorry if I butchered your name.
Say it with confidence and don't worry about it.
Based on Lee Child's novel, One Shot, which would have been book number 9.
And that is by Fantastic Fiction website, so that's where I got that numbering.
In an innocent Heartland city, 5 are shot dead by an expert sniper. The police quickly identify and arrest a culprit and build a slam dunk case. But instead of confessing, the accused man writes the words, "Get Jack Reacher." Reacher sees a news report and turns up in the city. The defense is immensely relieved, but Reacher has come to bury the guy. Shocked at the accused's request, Reacher sets out to confirm for himself the absolute certainty of the man's guilt, but comes up with more than he bargained for. As Richard said earlier, Jack Reacher is played by Tom Cruise. The DA, Helen, is played by Rose.
Defense attorney.
Defense attorney? That's what DA is, isn't
it? No, it's district attorney. It's DA.
Defense attorney, district attorney.
Defense attorney is not called DA. Only your...
Well, same initials.
Anyway. Yeah, but it's not the same.
Yeah,
not the same job. Different job. DA is the district attorney.
Prosecution.
So, yep.
And so, opposing jobs, too.
That's played by Rosamund Pike. The DA is her father, Rodan, who's played by Richard Jenkins. One of the detectives, Emerson, is played by David Oyelowo. The SEC, which we will get into later, is played by Werner Herzog. And Charlie is played by Jay Courtney. Interesting names.
Interesting names. Okay. This one, like John said, is book 9 of the Jack Reacher series by Lee Child. They opted to go with a different book than the actual first book. I'm not sure why, because I haven't actually read the series, so I can't comment on anything book-wise, even if it's tore up, pieced together from the book, or if it followed the book fairly good. I have no clue. So I'm going into this as a complete, we're having fun, right. We're watching Jack Reacher.
And that's exactly what this one was. It wasn't really one where normally, Richard, you're writing notes like this is what's going to happen here, and
just depends on the movie,
right? So it's just like normally one of us is writing notes about the movie, what we liked, what we disliked, and this time we just put our feet up and relaxed and watched it.
Now, one thing I will say, that watching this movie did get my interest up to at some point go back and read the Jack Reacher novels. I just have too much more that I'm needing and wanting to read, and I'll get to them eventually. But it did raise my interest. Right. I'll give it that much. Because having the B.A. take no prisoner attitude, I like those type of characters. Right.
That's exactly what he is.
So one of those, you know, I like the Punisher. I like, you know, the Batman-esque. I like the Ethan Hunt. You know, those type of characters. James Bond's Craig version. Daniel Craig's, you know. So I really gravitated to the Jack Reacher character. Even though we do know one part about Tom Cruise and the Jack Reacher character is really off.
He plays Jacob, take it away.
He plays the attitude great.
Yeah.
Right.
But the size difference, I guess, from the character in the book to the Tom Cruise's size is really well off. Because I think Tom Cruise is only 5'10", if he's somewhere in there.
He's shorter than that.
Is he shorter than that? So somewhere, you know, and Jack Reacher, I guess, in the books is well over 6 feet tall.
Let's see here. According to the internets, because there's more than one, everyone, Jack Reacher is about 6'5".
Wow. Yep.
And Tom Cruise is like 5'7". Because if you ever watch Top Gun, they go through every trick in the book to make him look like he's as tall as everyone else.
So that's how they got the Lord of the Rings technology, huh? No.
Pretty much.
Just camera angles.
Exactly. Yeah, Tom Cruise is 5'7".
Okay.
Elevator shoes. My size. Elevator shoes do magic.
Exactly. Well,
look at John Wayne, though. He wasn't that big either. And they always made him look taller. Yeah,
you just shoot.
That's a 10-gallon hat, though. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
But this is one that, it was slower than I remembered.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, because for some reason I thought it moved faster. But when it did hit the action scenes,
it went fast.
It went pretty good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed them. But I think it was his attitude that it conveyed, the Jack Reacher attitude through Tom Cruise, that kept the movie going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there were those small little quirks where he said something to where you just couldn't help laughing. And it's just like, that's just perfect for, you know, one of these kind of action-filled movies. If there isn't that little quirk to where they say something
The quips.
Yeah, the quips.
I think that's the word for it.
Oh, yeah, it is. Because it's like, you know, you were warned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he talked about the guys in the bar.
Right.
Picking the fives, and you really want to do this. And then the quip is, remember, I warned you.
Yeah.
So I think that was it. I might be misphrasing it, but he did it with a deadpan expression. I think that's what carried it over for me.
Right.
Other people might not have enjoyed that characterization. That's them. But for me, it just resonated like, yes. And he proceeded to kick. So, which is, well, you know, for young, well, he's not young anymore, though.
No.
He's past 50.
Mm.
Wow, that's hard to believe. I wish I could look that.
Is he really past 50? Wow.
Yes, he is.
Jacob, pull up the internet.
Oh, the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, I can guarantee you
he's past 50. Easy, because he was doing, he's in The Outsiders.
Yeah.
Which was early 80s.
I believe so.
And then he was also in Top Gun, which is obviously one of the best movies of all time.
Risky Business was his breakthrough role, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 54.
Yeah. Okay.
Surprising, isn't it?
I don't know.
So he was Top Gun or Risky Business. The first one came out.
No.
He was probably 48, 49 when the first Jack Reacher came out.
The first Jack Reacher came out in 2012.
But that's where money, where you don't have to work all day and just go to the gym and keep yourself flexible. You know, because you could tell he did quite a bit of his own stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, to be that flexible, you got to have money to be able to go to the gym every day and do all that. I don't know how extensive he does his own stunts. I'm not sure about that, but you can tell he did some of the choreography with the fight scenes. The father-daughter duo was kind of ho-hum. That was pretty much business as usual to me.
Yeah, nah.
You've seen this story before.
Yeah.
Right.
It was all right. It wasn't anything close to a driving force. But I think I'd imagine if that kind of element's in a book, it's going to be way more developed, because the DA character
just kind of like felt out of place half the time. Oh. Yes, he's the one that's going to have to try this. Yes, he's the one that's going to have to do that. But half the time he shows up and you're sitting there going, why is he even here? No.
A decoy villain that probably knows something's going on and doesn't want to dig that much.
I wouldn't really
true
categorize him as a villain because
I said decoy.
He's the red herring.
You might think he's the villain, but nope, it's the other guy.
Yeah, oh no, it sets you up to think
that I kind of zoned in on the other guy being the villain right away. I didn't zone in on him being the villain. I zoned in on the other guy being the villain right away. Like, it was kind of a dead giveaway, and I'm just like...
What part?
And when just the whole thing, I mean, he was... The minute that Reacher came in, he was zoned in on Reacher. Like, the whole car chase and everything, it was just like, it was too fixated on him. So I was just like...
I can see that as you're pissing on my turf, too.
True.
And that's what they put it as.
Right.
Because some people will see that, but I did my first viewing, I did not see that either. I went with a red herring because I was like, oh, he's being a dick father.
Yeah. Well, in the car chase that you're talking about stems and begins because a girl's body is dumped at the hotel that Reacher is staying at. And then Reacher pulls up while the police are there, and then he runs.
But the person who we're talking about zones in on him right away.
Well, you would.
And I want it. I'd be like, well,
she's in Jack Reacher's room. So
no, she was buried outside. Was she not? No, she was thrown outside.
She was dumped outside.
So I mean,
dumped outside.
Like, why zone in on him right away?
Because it's at his hotel. Because and you don't trust the guy from the
get-go. But still, I mean, like, he didn't run until until the guy looked right at him. He didn't run until the detective zoned in on him.
No, Jack. I think Jack knew what was happening. He was being framed, and he knew he couldn't go up there. Period. No matter who was up there. So, I mean, that's great that you caught it early, but I did it with my first
viewing. They also wanting to question him based on the guy that was the leader of the small gang that was hired to disappearing too?
Yeah, the local, what do you call them? Not the mob boss per se, but it is the mob. But
yeah.
Local small-time gang.
Yeah. I don't know how big of a family they were, and what city was this in? Chicago, you think? I don't think they ever said.
I didn't say. It just says
so. Some big city, and I couldn't recognize the skyline. Yeah, skyline. Thank you, Logan. So I didn't know which one it was with, and the trope was fairly. I don't know if this introduced this trope or if some of the TV series introduced the trope of hiding the murder within several random acts. I don't know.
Because I know one of the, either NCIS or another show has done it too.
Yeah. So I'm not sure which one of those came first. But you have the one of those type of pecking orders. You're hiding the murder within a bunch of others.
A tree in a forest.
Yep. Tree in a forest. And the main villain, what was his name? Charlie? I consider Charlie more of the main guy because he's the one kind of chasing. But
yeah.
Well, really, they didn't concentrate on those. It was with the local people, and that's where most of your action was with, because we had the bar scene, because that was subcontracted, basically, through the local mafia.
Right. And then, they were basically pulling the strings, the guys behind the curtain that you knew were there, because they showed us, and then,
And if they hadn't had that local element, Jack Reacher might never have got on to... Hey, this is actually a cover-up thing because he didn't look at the evidence until after he was ambushed, did he?
No.
Yeah. So he would have left without getting aware that there was a frame-up at all if he hadn't been roughed up.
And to kind of explain why he was in that frame of mind is that the character that was accused of doing the shooting was a former Army sniper, I believe, and he killed a bunch of contract people over in Afghanistan, Iraq, one of those countries somewhere, and got away with it. And Reacher had the evidence, but they just swept it under the rug. So he pretty much told that guy, when I see you next, I'm going to bury you myself. And that's why Reacher's so dead set against this from the beginning. And then, like you said, with the local people, that made him kind of take a second look at some of the stuff.
And once he looked at the evidence of the shooting and all that, okay, he actually isn't the shooter. Let's find the real one.
Yeah.
And so he investigates it, and then he tells Helen, hey, look up gun ranges, because I know this guy has been practicing shooting. Let's see if we can find the gun range that he goes to. So he goes and finds the gun range, and that's where he meets Cash. Logan, I'll let you take away on this one.
Good ally for the rest of the movie, though you skipped.
For the ending scene.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, at the construction yard.
Yeah. The backup sniper person.
Yep.
He keeps the gunman off of Jack's back until Jack can take him down.
And it was Robert Duvall who played that character. And
yep.
He brought the rough and gruff type character that he plays pretty good as well. So it fit his mannerisms too by how he looks. I mean, he can be, I guess, kind hearted and stuff, but he just has that look about him that he looks like a gruff person.
Right.
So he fit that role as well. And he dished it to Jack Reacher as much as Jack Reacher was dishing it out to other people. Jack could intimidate others, but he couldn't intimidate, was it Cash you said?
It was Cash, yeah.
He couldn't intimidate him. He just said,
I think that
because he was Cash, a Marine.
Yeah. Right.
Cash was a Marine and Reacher was an Army.
And I think they knew each other from the way that Cash said it. They did. Because Cash Cash knew his name right away. He was like, you're Jack Reacher.
They didn't know each other, though.
Just the way that they were talking.
First round in the range, that was Jack Reacher
Right after that, what did he tell him? He said, that's not the same Jack Reacher I remember. You did a lot better.
I don't remember that at all. I'd have to go back and rewatch it. Because the way I understood it was that was their first meeting. I could be wrong. I'd have to go back and watch it.
I'm pretty sure that was their first.
Beside the point, guys, one way or the other, it was that way. You guys can go watch it and find out. Yeah. How about that? But to continue on, I think this is more Tom Cruise than the Jack Reacher character. I could be wrong. Haven't read the books. But a lot of times with the Helen character, I mean, there was really some sexual overtones, thinking like, okay, we're going to have a bed scene and stuff. And he was shirtless in one, getting real close to her, and then backing off. And I was kind of like,
really? Didn't he just grab her keys, or was it her phone?
He either grabbed the keys or gave her the keys to go home from his hotel room. And so, yeah, that was kind of interesting. So I don't know if that was actually the Jack Reacher character or if that was Tom Cruise kind of saying, you know, I got to show off a little bit. I don't know. So somebody out there can write us and tell us who's actually read the books.
Right.
But all in all, this is a pretty simple movie. Just an action flick. Pure and simple. Almost a callback to the 80s movies. Unapologetic action.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not quite as over the top as the 80s, but pretty darn close.
Yeah. You're not watching it for the plot.
I mean, even
when they finally revealed the Zek, which was Charlie's prisoner. main goal, it was we do this to make money, and it was a really complicated, convoluted reason of how they go about doing it. And you're sitting there thinking, like, there are way, just run drugs.
Yeah, true.
I mean, the Zek is, he's a former he's a former, I'm gonna say, Soviet prisoner held up in Siberia. So, you know, he's tough. I mean, I imagine he's probably got connections to the Russian mob. Just
go
do
there.
Other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it got a little complicated. I agree with you there. So, I don't know.
He actually would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for his incompetent minions.
True.
If
it wasn't for those darn kids.
Yes.
Yep. Except for the kids are nominally on his side.
Oh, the other thing. Pure 80s and might be in the book, but then afterwards, after thinking about it, the final battle with Charlie and Jack, because Charlie was the sniper and Jack coming in, looked at Jacob's like, this makes me appreciate Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he just pulls out his pistol, shoots the swordsman.
Right.
Because dropping the weapons, okay, let's fight it out, let's be He-Man. You see that so many times, and it's like, no.
There was kind of slight reason for it, but that's iffy.
There was, because Jack Reacher promised him he would beat him with his bare hands, kill him and beat him to death with his bare hands somehow or another. So he was keeping his promise.
Yeah.
Yes, you could say, but still, it's like,
still a bit.
You know, I'm a realist. I'm going to shoot the guy. I don't care.
Especially if you're. Now, I never got the opinion that Charlie was overly smart.
No,
I mean,
not really.
He was so, because normally you would think, okay, this guy literally just rolled through every other person we have out here.
Who's left?
By himself or with help of
a sniper.
Of cash. Why am I going to go out and take him on hand to hand?
Through.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. But then again, but I'm like you. I'm like, no, I'm just going to pull out my gun and shoot the guy.
Yeah, apparently he didn't want to go gun to, I think, yeah, Jack had a gun.
Yeah,
he did.
Yep.
And they both dropped it. And it was like,
Charlie did.
I think he
was the first one to bring out the knife, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It was almost like at the end of Lethal Weapon, when they've got them all together, but Gary Busey and Mel Gibson have to fight it out to see who's better.
Oh, yeah.
You're just kind of sitting there going, really? This is what? Okay. I mean,
we're going here.
I mean, I watch it, and it's fun, but, like, you mean it's, yeah. Like I said, if you get to where you're analyzing an 80s action movie, or something of the sort. It's like, it'd be like trying to break down the plot of any of the Expendables movies. You're just like, no, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Though I love the Expendables movies.
Oh, they're great. Oh, but they're action. Yeah. That's all they ever should be.
If you're not going to attack the gunmen with guns that you have, you should at least make it like, and half the reason I'm doing this is to remind you. Do you remember the magic hour that we saw in
dude, that's been a long time ago.
Yeah, there was
a Korean film.
Really?
Okay. I haven't seen it.
It might have been Japanese. Yeah. It was Japanese
still,
or Korean.
Still haven't seen it.
No, you haven't. I've looked at it. I've looked for it in Hastings, but now Hastings is going out of business. So, anyways,
have you heard of Amazon?
I might have to. At the end, he's been impersonating accidentally.
An assassin.
Hitman.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They've just now basically explained to him that he's actually been posing the hitman, and this actually hasn't been all a movie set.
Fascinating.
And the actual hitman's coming to town. He goes after a period of soul searching and sets it up so when the hitman's there, he makes the fact that he can shoot things with his little gun hand that is literally just finger guns a way to, yeah, this is him faking out the actual mobsters and stuff with false, basically, I am a natural born weapon and shoots things with his finger gun.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. He's basically using the movie effects to convince the...
Right. I got you. It sounds fascinating. I'm going to give it a hard pass.
Watching it is hilarious.
Yeah. Sure.
It's describing it is kind of
hard.
Right, okay.
I might have been able to describe it better when it was the night after I watched it.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But yeah, the movie was one of those where, like I said, shoot 'em up, let's have fun. The main villains, they were just stock villains, I think.
Yeah.
Like you said, I think if they could have, if they explained Zek in more detail, I think it would have been a longer movie and it would have been, oh no. Because even just talking about the army sniper took a little bit of, what do you call it, continuity away from the movie.
It kind of took
it out of its zone and just went boom, and then you're back in, and you're like, he could have just said something real fast saying, yeah, this guy killed a bunch of people in Iraq, and I knew he did it and couldn't catch him. Now I'm pissed out and want to kill him.
Right.
You're done. Mm-hmm. Instead of going all the way back in these scenes.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's the setup of the Zek is you don't, he's supposed to be this big, scary guy, and then, I mean, he just either Reacher is that much better at his job than they are at theirs. Like, it's like they underestimate him the whole way because they just keep setting these little, we'll do this.
90% of that or 60% or 70% of that seems to be completely due to incompetent underlings. Instead of actually underestimation.
And I don't know if there's something we're losing from the books because, you know, Jack Reacher was a CID investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's basically the Army's version of NCIS, basically. Mm-hmm. Could he have possibly been Special Forces that we don't know about? And then he went into the investigative part of the Army because, you know, it's like, how does he know all this stuff if he's just an investigator? Yeah, you're going to get some training, but it kind of, like you were saying, Jacob, he made Reacher be this ultimate BA where it's like, are so much better than the others.
Right. Well, and I've talked with my cousin about it a little bit because he's read a couple of the books, and that, like, Tom Cruise is this unstoppable force that is Reacher. That's accurate because that's how he is in the books.
Okay.
So, but like I said, Reacher's also 6'5" and just a mammoth of a man. So okay. that also plays into it a lot.
You think that would be a disadvantage in a gunfight?
Well, it could be in a close quarters fight.
In a close quarters fight, that would seem to be a good advantage, but bigger depends target to shoot holes in.
Well, it depends on if are we talking
holes.
Are you talking like close quarters, like a little hallway? Because a 6'5" guy in a little hallway is not going to be able to move.
True.
So, I mean, it's, again, we're delving into the plot and tearing apart the plot of an action movie.
Yeah.
Though, if you have...
Which is part of what we do. Hey.
Right.
Pipes and bats in a small hallway, too, are a bad idea.
And they kind of showed that in the one scene in the restroom where the pipes weren't actually hitting them. They were hitting the wall. So you kind of see that. So.
Yeah. It's just on the other side of things.
Yep. So this is one I would say if you're just want a good old action flick, pick up Jack Reacher, have fun with it. Library-wise, since it is an older movie, you might still have it on your shelf. If you don't, should be in the cheap bin. You can probably pick it up because the new movie just was released. So, you'll have another interest in it again. If you don't have it, interlibrary loan it. That'd be fine. Personal collection, if you love the action flicks, this would be one that you could slide in there real easily. Uh-huh. It just goes right with it. If you're a fan of the books, can't help you. I don't know how accurate they are. So you'll have to make your own judgment there. You know better than I. But I think that's going to be about it for us tonight for Jack Reacher. If you're interested in getting in touch with us, you can contact us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. You can get in touch with us through Facebook and Twitter. Look up Comic Pop Library. You'll find us there. We're also on iTunes. Subscribe to us there. You leave us some reviews and all that good fun stuff. You can catch Jacob on Nerd Barrage. He's done a few things with them here of late. Jonathan's doing Jonathan Room on YouTube and Facebook, so be sure to check those out. And it's Nerd Barrage. It's a YouTube channel as well.
Right. So. Yeah, I've done some writing for them, so you won't actually get to see me per se, but
you'll see some of the
right. They do. Most of their videos are they'll take a famous scene, like they did the Princess Bride once, the Battle of Wits, and that's one of the more recent ones, and they just sub in some dialogue with more nerdy things, and
so
then
you don't get sued.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. I don't really know. I don't know how they get away with it, but they're like, "Hey, this is what we want to do," and I'm like, "Okay." And so I help them with their scripts every now and then. I mean, so
check out Jacob and Jonathan on their two endeavors. Be sure to come back and check us out as well. We've been having fun. Hope everybody out there's been having fun listening to us as well. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Bye.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I've got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so
thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.